Why don't you just close your eyes where you stand this morning? Father, we just give you all the praise, all the glory, all the thanks for bringing us together in this place today. Thank you, Lord, for those of us that have found you, have given our lives to you, that we haven't assembled because we think it's a good idea. We've assembled because you've called us to be your body here on planet Earth, forged into a growing family of believers with Jesus Christ, your Son, our Saviour, at the head. We thank you, Lord, that you've given us free will and we choose lots of things. And as Simon mentioned earlier, there seems to be a mixture of things that we do that have consequences that are in the form of, let's just say, punishment. But there are other times when our lack of compliance, our inability to say yes, leads to just missing out. And I pray, Lord, this morning not one of us would miss out. Father, we've come together in this place under the canopy of the kingship of Christ because we love you. Some of us are long-term followers of Christ. Some of us have just found him. Some of us are still wondering whether it's true that he is the Son of God. Some of us don't even know if that really is even relevant to our own lives. And so, Lord, by your incredible mercy and love for every one of us assembled here this morning, draw all those variables together, Lord. Forge us into this incredible group of people, the family of the Lord Jesus Christ, that are world changers. Lord, that our influence and our ability to stir up curiosity in our friends and family and neighbours would go from strength to strength. Father, that the light of Christ that's at work within us would shine brightly in all that we do, in all that we say. Forgive us, Lord, for the moments that we've allowed conversations to come out of our own mouths or out of the mouths of others and we haven't shut it up. Conversations that are negative, critical, conversations that are complaining, conversations that are biased away from you and your kingdom. Sometimes we don't even know we're doing it. Other times we're deliberately involved. Lord, our hearts are a dark and difficult place to navigate. Your word says that every inclination of the heart is evil from birth. Lord, even when we're saved, we've got a daily journey of submitting ourselves to you, that our heart would be aligned with the purpose of God, our heart and our soul would be sweet with the people around us. So, breath of life, breathe on us this morning. Breath of life, breathe on us. Got a little bit of time this morning to just spend a few more moments in the presence of God. I don't know about you, but oftentimes in our church, because we're into praise and worship and the Holy Spirit and encouragement and all those things that are absolutely essential, we have communion a couple of times a month, which is great. But I do just sometimes wonder whether we need to provide a little more opportunity for a time of repentance and confession. Because I don't know about you, but I know there's just dimensions of my private world, my thought life, that sometimes just run amok. And I can pretend that that's okay. I can sort of be thankful to God that he's merciful and forgiving, because he is. And that my sin isn't before him, because it isn't. Because Jesus took it all. So it's not before God. But somewhere in the midst of that, stuff seems to me to accumulate to a point of either just, well, it can become shame. That's a real shame for it becomes shame. But what it actually becomes, and it's attached to this message this morning, it begins to rob us of our confidence. And the Bible says to approach the throne of grace with confidence. And if we actually don't spend time just cleaning out the cupboards of our heart and soul, not because God needs to forgive us again, he's already forgiven us, we actually need to just get it out of the cupboard. And just for the next 60 seconds, I want you to reflect on the last week that you've lived. Some of the conversations that you might have been involved with. Some of the thoughts you thought. Some of the things that maybe was a complaint or at least a whinge. Maybe some things that you've petitioned God for that he's not answered you or spoken to you about, and it's kind of got a bit of a chip on the shoulder about it. Why don't we just bring all that out into the open this morning, and a moment of confession. Mighty God, we just stand before you, sinners saved by grace. Father, we've got stuff that just needs to be brought out of the crevices of our life this morning into the light of your glorious presence and kingdom. Thank you, Lord, that we're not asking you in that sense to forgive us, because you already have. But Lord, we're just stepping out in confidence, cleaning out the recesses of our life, that we can come around even the time of preaching in the Word this morning with a greater sense of confidence and holiness, because, Lord, we've just jettisoned some stuff that we don't need in our life. So, God, today, in the first person, Lord, I say, I'm sorry, Lord, for the things I've thought this week. Lord, I'm sorry for the things that I've harbored in my heart, that hardness of heart. Sorry for some of the thoughts and words that have come out of my mouth. Lord, I just repent. Ask you to strengthen and encourage me, and strengthen and encourage my brothers and sisters here, Lord, that we won't go there again, that we'll step up to a new level of living for you. But Lord, when we do trip over, we'll be first to get on our knees, literally or figuratively, say, Lord, I've done it again, I'm so sorry. And Lord, just pick up that amazing sense of grace and forgiveness that is ours. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Just turn to your neighbour and say, he's a good, good God. And then have a seat. Well, welcome to church. Thank you, team. Well done. Awesome. If you need to get your Bible out this morning, because we are preaching from the Word of God. It's the only thing that we can preach out of. I mean, you can preach a message that's a positive message. Get up here and do a TED talk about self-improvement and organising your life. And that's not what this is. What preaching is God giving somebody, in this case today it's me, the charge, the responsibility, the opportunity, the absolute indictment, in fact. It's a strong word to actually open the word up, read it, and unpack it. Doesn't mean to unpack it and say this is the definitive word from Pastor Bruce about what this means. This is today's, in your hearing, extrapolation of a few thoughts around Hebrews chapter 11. And my prayer is that something will just go on the inside. Something in your heart just goes, aha. Something in the journey with Jesus will have the opportunity to just shift into a place of movement forward. I'm going to start with the first verse, but I want to get down to a few others further down in the chapter. But Hebrews chapter 11 verse 1 says this. Now faith, say faith. Say aloud, faith.
Faith.
This is the bee's knees for the Christian. Faith. We've got nothing else. We got works. We all work. We do stuff. We can be nice people. Good for us. We can be nasty people. Sometimes we're a combination of both. What changes our world, what changes the world, is this thing, faith. And so the writer of Hebrews, if you're a Bible scholar, you'll know that some people believe that the Apostle Paul wrote Hebrews, but its writing style and some of its theological content leads other scholars to believe that Paul didn't write this particular book. And so, and I would lean towards that. There's probably more people who know what they're talking about would lean towards that. And so we refer to the writer of the Hebrews deliberately because we're uncertain as to whether Paul wrote it or not. That's not questioned in all of his other letters. He's almost dead set certain that Paul wrote most of the, not all of it. whether he wrote it in his own hand, as he mentions in one of the letters. I'm writing this in my own hand, implying that he didn't write others in his own hand, but that's just because he maybe was chained to a wall and couldn't write. Who knows? But this one, this is still a fabulous book of the Bible. The book of Hebrews goes into a lot of detail about stuff that's helpful, and this particular chapter is a cracker. If you haven't read Hebrews 11 for a while, go back home today and get your Bible out and read it from start to finish. We're not going to get a chance to do that today. It's a lengthy chapter, 40 verses. This is the first verse. Now, faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. I want to lace the word curiosity into this particular line of thinking this morning. And is my video good to go now? We'll just have a little look at this first. Interesting thoughts there. I found that searching on YouTube and other places during the week for some just other thoughts around the topic of curiosity, stirring curiosity and what it amounts to. So I ended up finding, and I haven't put it on to show you this morning, a TED Talk where a number of things were discussed, and the actual presenter was talking about gecko's feet, of all things. Like, how can geckos climb up any surface? Doesn't matter if it's glass, wall, metal, doesn't matter. Geckos have got the ability to just climb up things. And we're showing the research they did and got down to working out that geckos have literally hundreds of thousands of tiny little hair fibers in each of their toes that have got the capacity to basically stick onto anything. And they decided that they needed to work out how much pressure one of those little hair follicles needs to actually attach itself to a surface. And so where this is going is this issue of curiosity. They got a researcher at university, and they didn't tell her. They believed that what they were trying to measure couldn't be done. But they asked her to investigate it, and they didn't tell her that. So my comment and my title for the message this morning, if you're looking in the YouVersion and following it, is curiosity is, in some senses, you don't know what can't be done. You don't know what can't be done. In other words, you're going into any venture with an open mind. And that got me thinking about, and I haven't queued up Tim this morning, but I'm going to get him up. He's a scientist. I'm going to ask him in a moment a question or two, and hopefully he's going to answer the question. If he doesn't, I'll just prompt him around the corner to the right place, but he'll be okay with that, I hope. But curiosity is, you don't know what can't be done. Right there is the essence of faith, certain of what you cannot see. In other words, there's not an inhibitor or a prohibitor, or should I say a more useful word, there isn't a bias in my heart towards it not happening. I'm either neutral or I'm biased towards it can be done. And in this particular case, this young woman that they set up, and they said later that they deliberately didn't tell her it couldn't be done because a huge team of researchers believed it couldn't be done, but they set her up to do it and she proved them wrong and that it could be done. And it's kind of like, that's what faith is sort of. People want to have arguments with us and you and me about God and about church and about belief and all that stuff. And they're coming to that discussion with a fairly significant level of bias. And we've somehow got to navigate how we deal with that. So Tim, come up here and join me for a second. I just want to ask you a question. What's that? Oh, Simon's got a microphone that works. That's good. Now, Tim, you're a scientist.
I am.
If I was to ask you to research the interaction of something physical, like a chemical reaction or something, and you brought the components together and you were observing the outcomes of this particular research, what would be some of the difficulties that you would encounter along the lines of, so I'm preempting this, what sort of things actually interfere with scientific research when we're looking at the interaction of things?
Things that might interfere with the interpretation of the results might be biases that you bring.
Okay, perfect. See, I told you, that's just a leading question. So what sort of biases would you, as a researcher, what sorts of things might you do that are biased, for example?
Well, if you think you know what's going to happen beforehand, that might change the way that you structure the experiment. It might change the way that you interpret what's happening in the experiment.
Okay, so you could look at the same thing, but because of the bias that you bring, you actually will either miss something, possibly.
Yeah, absolutely.
Or read into the result something that's not really there.
Yep.
Wow. Does that sound interesting to you? Think about that in the context of God and faith and Jesus and walking into a place of knowing Jesus. So you're a confident, competent scientist, and so even you, it's possible for your biases to interfere with your research.
Yeah, that's one of the things that as a scientist you get trained to do is to be aware of your own biases, because you can never eliminate them completely, but you just have to be aware of them so that you can...
Hear that? Say that again. You can never what?
You can never eliminate your biases completely.
Say that again.
You can never eliminate your biases completely.
Thank you. You can go sit down. That's awesome. Now, that was totally unrehearsed, and Tim had no idea. He's going to get a double shot free coffee after that. Maybe even a free car, I don't know. It's like, yeah, you've got to be a scientist. Got to be a scientist, Simon. Can't eliminate our biases. Well, I don't know about you, but I'd like to think if I can't eliminate them, I want to manage them over the line towards yes, God can, from no, God won't, or yes, I can, or no, I can't. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. I've got to be biased towards that for that actually to work. I can't be fighting it. I can't enter into reading a scripture like that from the biased position, I want God's got to prove me wrong. I don't believe it, but I'm going to say it, and I'm going to try and work in it, but my bias is it's not going to work. I want this morning, more than anything, to take you from a place of, let's just say, pessimism, but it's at the worst, to a place of optimism, simplistic words in some respects, but... Bias. What are your biases to what the word says about the forgiveness of sin? What is the bias in my life about mental health? What's the bias in my life about physical well-being and people having huge health challenges? Friends, family members, people we love that are suffering at the moment from cancer or some other disease. Right, what's our bias when we have a conversation with somebody in that situation? What's our bias? Well, I'd like to think that we can continuously be on a journey to posit ourselves in Hebrews chapter 11. Now, faith is confidence in what we hope for and an assurance about what we do not see. So last week I presented a message that was focused around the possibility that curiosity, at the very least, can stir up this thought, I wonder if. And I felt like the Holy Spirit's just taken me on a journey through this week to, let's go dig deeper, a little drill down into I wonder, and shift from wondering, I wonder if, to what curiosity actually can do, and that is elicit certainty. Say certainty. Somehow or other, God, I pray that God takes me and you through the things that we're wondering about with him, through that veil, through that place of wonder. There's nothing wrong with wondering. That's a great starting point. I wonder if it's possible that my sin is forgiven. If you're sitting here this morning and you haven't received Christ as Lord and Savior, you'll be wondering about your sin. Well, if you're not wondering about it, you should be, because it's going to kill you. Sin... Separation from God is going to lead to one place, eternal separation from God. The question that I think every one of us who is in Christ here this morning would love anyone who's not in Christ to start asking is, I wonder if my sin. I wonder if Jesus paid the price for my sin. You guys seem to think he paid for your sin. Well, I want to say to you, he paid for all our sin. But that doesn't make any difference to you if you're not wondering about it. But if you are wondering about it, I want to grab your hand, literally, physically, metaphorically, that's the word, it'll eventually come out. We want to grab your hand this morning and move you from I'm wondering to that place of certainty. That's the moment where you say, I actually believe. That's the moment where I go, my sin is forgiven. That's that place where I get certainty that I'm actually in the family of God. And we've got four young people this morning at 11 o'clock who are being baptized for that very reason. They are now, and they've been journeyed from the moment they made a commitment. They went from wondering to certainty about Jesus to obedience to get baptized. Baptism is not an optional extra, sort of like throwing the free steak knife to deal with getting saved. Baptism is absolutely an essential part of the journey for every Christian. The waters of baptism represent things, significant things to us, none the least of which the death and resurrection of Jesus. So entering into the waters of baptism is we're basically putting our old self to death, and coming out of the waters of baptism is a brand new creation. That is a wondrous miracle. Now, it doesn't happen at that point in time. It happened when the heart repented and said, I receive you, Lord. That's the moment salvation happens. Some people have wanted to have huge doctrinal issues over the years. So if a person's not baptized, they're not going to heaven. That's not true. A person who's given their heart, confessed with their mouth, and believed in their heart that Jesus is Lord, that person, the Bible says, is saved. They're going to heaven. So if you got hit by a truck between the time you actually gave your heart to Jesus and got into the baptism pool, you'd be going to heaven. That's my view. There's no doubt about it. It's like Jesus, God, is compassionate. He's not going to get caught up on, oh, they missed the step. The only step that matters is repenting and giving a heart to Christ. And then baptism is a great joy and a great privilege, and it's also a great public declaration, I'm his. I belong to God. I belong to Jesus. We get baptized in a building that's sort of got four walls in it, and it's an in-house thing in some respects, as it should be, because it's about the family of God. It would take... And we've done baptisms at the beach, we've done baptisms in people's swimming pools. We did first baptism in our church was at the Nairn Primary School in the pool when it was about minus 16 degrees, it felt like it anyway. It was cold, and Wayne Smith and I were both blue from the waist down and couldn't feel anything for about 3 days, but we persevered. What am I saying? I'm saying this, in our context, it's not risky to be baptised, but it would be if you're in Baghdad, or Kabul in Afghanistan, or Tehran in Iran. Any of the countries that you could list that are, let's just say, not overly open to the Christian faith, it takes courage. I mean, we can all give our heart to Jesus in private at a moment, in a meeting. Someone can lead us to Christ. But it takes courage to enter the water of baptism when there is actually a lot of persecution going on. So I just want to, it's our bias. We're biased towards peaceful. It's a peaceful place. There's no risk of getting blown up in this place, I don't think, this morning, by getting baptized. But that's not the case everywhere in the world. It's a public declaration. And I'm proud of these young guys this morning, in spite of the fact that they're not putting their lives at risk physically. They are putting their lives at risk. Risk of being ostracized by the family, risk of being misunderstood by their work colleagues, at risk of being ridiculed for being a person of faith in the 21st century when anybody with half a brain knows it's all about reason and information. You don't need faith, that's just a crutch that weak people have to get through life. I've heard it all. Sure you have. Let's stand proud. Let's be biased towards good. Let's be biased towards God is good. Let's be biased towards God can do. Let's be biased towards the Holy Spirit will. Let's be biased towards things are going to work out. Let's be biased towards it's awesome. Let's be biased towards my life counts for something. Let's be biased towards I have a purpose. Because we can all be biased the other way. That's called default. Oh, it's hopeless. Not going to work out. It's a disaster. It's like I can go there as fast as anybody. You've heard me confess my sins of being a pessimist. I'm really quick at going to the pessimistic place if I'm left to my own devices. I need to read things like this. Faith is confidence in what we hope for. That's a positive bias in our life. So, certainty. So at first glance, it doesn't seem that is certainty to fit the job description of curiosity, because inherent in curiosity is the possibility it can't be done. And so I'm just wanting to take curiosity, not definitively changing its meaning, but to say we can treat curiosity as let's just taste and see. If it don't work out, it's all very well and good. There's that level of curiosity. Yet I'm certain from what I'm just feeling the prompting of God through this series to say to you that we can take a hold of curiosity and make it work for us. Make it work towards a place of certainty. Make it that we're not just maybe it'll work out okay, we're actually letting curiosity propel us to a brand new place of faith where we are confident, where we are assured. Anyone say amen to that? If we could take our curiosity to certainty, what would we do as followers of Jesus Christ? This morning, if my bias was to God's going to do something. This week, God's going to do something in my life. Today, God's going to do something in my life. By the end of the day, by the time the sun goes down, I'm going to have a conversation that I wasn't expecting to have, and God's going to move sovereignly. I can go, I wonder if that will happen, to why not bias myself towards I'm going to get out of bed and think that God is going to give me opportunities today. God is going to be with me. When I face that particular issue at work today, God is going to give me wisdom. God's going to give me breakthrough. That's what I call a positive bias. And it will stuff up the experiment because the bias is going to come down on the side of God's going to do something. And I want the outcome to be assured because I've gone into it with a level of confidence. And so I put this thought. Let's just read some Bible first before I go down that. We're in the bit that I've highlighted. I think you've got this scripture on the system there, Gavin, starting at around about verse 13, I think it is. So just a brief outline, I'm going to read the whole chapter. Hebrews 13, and the first half, it lists a whole bunch of heroes of the Old Testament whose actions are in this context referred to as faith. So it's by faith that they did such and such. By faith they did such and such. It's by faith they did such and such. In other words, there was a level of certainty about what they did, about what God had promised, but what they had certainty about never happened in their time. And we've got to get our head around the fact that God's up to things that are started before we were born and they are going to keep going after we're dead. We just get this privilege of sitting in the picture for whatever length of time God's got ordained for your days on earth. I'm hoping mine is a lot, but it's like, whatever, I'm in his hands. I got to 60 years, that's pretty good innings. I wouldn't complain if I checked out tomorrow. I wouldn't. I wouldn't be happy on the one hand because you'd be sad, I hope. Some of you would be. Some of you might be going, yep, whatever. Anyway, you hear what I'm saying. It's like, this is just this window. Not this window of it's all about me. There's this window of what can I do to add to the fabric of the incredible story of life, the author and perfecter of our faith. He's an author. He's writing a story. He's writing your life into his story. You've been woven into the tapestry of the purpose of God, all those pictures. I don't know about you, but I love that. Am I actually biased towards that? Or am I still standing off the canvas, wondering? No, get certain. Jump in. You know those movies that show people jumping into pictures? No, as in pictures on the wall? You kind of, like maybe Mary Poppins, they jumped into the picture, didn't they? And the cartoon became real. That's an old, old, really old version, but there's been other. Anyway, you're all pretty excited about that example. I can see that. Okay, moving right along. So, here we are down in verse 13 of chapter 11. All these people, so the ones we're talking about, these heroes of the faith, were still living by faith when they died. They didn't receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance, admitting that they were foreigners and strangers on earth. People who say such things show that they are looking for a country of their own or a place of their own, the kingdom of God to come, whatever. If they had been thinking of the country they had left, they would have had opportunity to return. Instead, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. This is a description of what to focus on in life. Don't focus on regret. Don't focus on what you gave up to become a Christ follower. Don't focus, and you're not going to focus. One of the funniest questions that a person who's thinking about giving their hearts to Jesus is this: will I have to come to church? It's like, well, when you make the decision to follow Jesus, you won't ask that question anymore because you're not looking back. You're not looking back at your calendar and thinking, how am I going to fit that into my week? It all of a sudden becomes something that you're certain you're meant to do. And it's no longer a question you ask. It's the weirdest thing. It's like asking a guy when he gets married, do I have to sleep with my wife? You don't ask that question after you're married, do you? No, I don't. It's all good. Anyway, another great example has gone down the wall. Okay. I'm on a winner this morning. I think I better quit before I get thrown off the stage. Okay, so change of thought here. Curiosity. This is an interesting thought. So I said curiosity actually is an antidote to bias. Now, I want to go from bias positive to this is when curiosity helps us. Curiosity helps us to shift from our negative bias. So let curiosity work in your life. Let curiosity take you from the place of anticipating a negative outcome. Let curiosity draw you back over the line to this side where it's like, this could work. God could. I think this can happen. I don't know about you, but I like the fact that curiosity is being given to me as a gift. So I can consider options, but I want the curiosity to hammer the negative bias and elevate the positive one. It's an amazing thing, curiosity. I've never thought of it. It's like just this funny little word, and it's like, it's flipping awesome. Say curiosity.
Curiosity.
Say it loud.
Curiosity.
Okay, curiosity's got to get in here. It's got to get in here. I've got to be curious about the outcomes. So, final question. So what life experiences have biased you away from God? What sorts of things, even this week, have happened in your life that you would concede with a little bit of an honest reflection? I was biased away from God by that. I was actually... On the other hand, there's things that you did this week, that I did this week, that biased me towards God. I want to encourage you to let curiosity, let the I wonder move down the road to certainty. Let the certainty develop into full-blown faith. Let the full-blown faith go, I'm rock solid. God's with me. I don't care what happens. I'm tough. Man of steel. Not Superman, just a saint saved by grace. Why don't we stand to our feet? You know, long-term experience, which, let me use the word, long-term experience in life can attach itself to and hitch its wagon up to what become bad habits. And bad habits of thinking, long-term bad habits of thinking, are difficult to shift. That's why we need Jesus to come. That's why we have prayer lines at church, like come down the front for prayers. Like, it's not an invitation just, I'm feeling a bit blue. Nothing wrong with coming down if you are feeling a bit blue. But what if, as you stand there right now, the Holy Spirit taps you and said, you know what, you've got a long term, definitely debilitating chip on your shoulder about me, as in God, about church, about your spouse if you're married, about your kids, about a school teacher that was just nasty to you, about extended family. Maybe someone abused you and did something inappropriate, and it's like, well, I think I've forgiven them. Maybe you have forgiven them, but in the experience of life, it's actually shut you down from a place of positive bias. So the grace of God's been at work, but still the experience has shifted you or me to a place where I anticipate a negative outcome or no outcome. I anticipate God to remain silent. When faith would say, let me move over to the place where I anticipate God's going to speak to me. So I don't know what biases you stand before me with, before God with this morning. But I'd like to think that right now, each one of us is open to the possibility that we can move to a brand new place of faith. Faith is about overcoming our bias. So someone who's got, say, a chronic sickness or disease in their life, you might have been prayed for many, many times for God to heal you. I'd guarantee that there'll be a bias in your heart about that. Why not let faith move that bias around here? Today's the day. Maybe you're standing here because I've asked you to this morning at this moment in time, but maybe you're standing before God always biased to, I actually find it really difficult to think about giving my heart to Jesus. I'm not sure what that's all about. And I don't even know why I'm a little bit, maybe you're suspicious about it. Maybe a little cynical. What I'm saying is they're all biases that have come from somewhere. Why not let God just move you over to certainty? I'm certain that Jesus is the Son of God. I'm certain that the Holy Spirit has breathed on me in this meeting this morning. I am certain that God's calling me into his eternal kingdom. I'm certain that I am to be a child of God. And I'd like to ask you with that line of thinking, if you're certain about it, to say, hey, Bruce, you've actually put something in front of me this morning that's taken me from wondering to certainty about faith in Christ. That would be a very awesome time to go yes to Jesus. Say, yep, yeah, I'm into it. I want to give my life to him because I'm certain he died for me. I might not understand it, but I'm certain he died for me on the cross. My sin has been dealt with. I am free. I refuse to let the bias of the past pull me back to the past. I'm heading into the future as a child of God. If you've never given your heart to Jesus Christ, if you have and you've lost your way, I've covered a lot of ground this morning in a sense of some ideas and concepts and faith and the goodness of God. But maybe you're at that place where you used to be close to God, you used to love God, you used to serve God with such joy and thankfulness, but you've become jaded, dry, and dead on the inside. I'd say to you, come back to him this morning. Repent. Say, God, I'm sorry, I've been a complete goose. I want to come back. I want to be powering on. I want to get my bias meter back into positive territory. If you're in either of those states, never given your heart to Jesus, or you know you've backslidden big time and you're way out of sync with him, come back to him this morning. Give me a wave and say, that's me, Pastor Bruce. I want to give or re-give my life to him because I want to live as a person of certainty, anyone at all, before we close the meeting today. Thank you, Lord. Okay, and Father, we just praise you and we thank you for every person that's assembled. Lord, let us get out into the week biased towards the goodness of God, biased towards steps of faith, biased towards it will work out. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Thank you, thank you, thank you. If you've got any prayer needs this morning, in light of what I said, get over the bias to not come and come. Got a bit of time to pray for you down the front. Love to lay hands on you and pray for you, whatever needs you might have. Otherwise, go and enjoy a coffee. And we do want to extend the invitation to stick around for service number 2 at 11 o'clock because baptisms are a lot of fun. God bless. Enjoy the rest of the day.